Welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Shamri, and hopefully you guys are realizing right now that, like, this chick sounds like she's in my ear and not a million miles away. It sounds better. So hopefully you guys realize that, because hopefully it does sound better, because my amazing husband bought me my first legit amazing, looks like a awesome, like amazing. It looks amazing. It looks like it's a professional microphone. Well, it doesn't look like a professional one. It is one. But like, y'all, I'm stepping this shit up. It's going to be amazing. This thing boosts my confidence just in its appearance. So I'm super stoked about it. So anyway, today's story for you people out there is a story that I learned and came across by doing my due diligence as an American and sitting on my ass and watching Netflix. So anybody who listens to me normally knows that I spend a god-awful amount of time watching Netflix, ID channel, Oxygen channel, whatever channel. If you have murder, true crime, if you have anything that's not normally watched, I should say. I'm not really into like the comedies and love movies, and I'm into like the horror, true crime, all that stuff. So if you got it, I watch it. And I started watching Netflix's Waco. It's like a 7-part series or something like that. Just started it, so I really can't comment too much on that. But when I first started it, I'm sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden they switch over and it shows Idaho on the screen, right? And I'm like, what the fuck? And they're like, the Rudy Ridge incident. And I'm like, wow, what is this? So I look into it because I've never heard about it. It only happened in 1992. I was 2 years old. And this was like a massive thing in Idaho. It was a standoff. It was death and shootouts and, oh man. So I was like, what the fuck? And it's weird because every person I've asked about this that I've come across so far and was like, hey, what do you remember? They don't remember anything about it. They're especially down here, because this happened up in the way very top of Idaho, like almost to Canada. It's the very top of Idaho. It's by Bonner's Ferry. I don't know if anybody knows where that is, but it's up there. Anywho, and people in Idaho Falls, so it's a fairly good drive. It's a fairly good drive. It's like, we're like 14, 15 hours apart, give or take. And so everybody down here is like, no, I don't remember. I don't recall that. I don't recall that at all. And it blows my mind that nobody recalls it, because this is insane. Absolutely insane. And so I was like, I'm going to research it. And when the government messes up, y'all, they sure don't like to make it easy to find the information about said mess up. So I found what I could find, and I watched what I could watch. There's a couple documentaries. YouTube obviously helped me a lot, and Google, all forms of Google, just whatever Google leads me to. I don't really pay attention to sites. I try to, just for research reasons, but I am not that great at paying attention. Anyhooser. So there's a movie and a documentary, like I said, and a couple books. And yeah, I'm just going to tell you about it. So, okay. So there's this family, the Weaver family. It consists of a mom and a dad, 3 daughters and a son. So we will start off with the dad. So Randy Weaver was born in 1948 in Ohio. He was one of 4 children. They were deeply religious. He played baseball and football in high school. He professed his faith in Jesus Christ at age 11. But in 2007, he said, and I quote, "I ain't afraid of dying no mo. I am curious about the afterlife, and I am an atheist. end quote. When he was 20 years old, he joined the United States Army in October of 1968 during the height of the Vietnam War. Is it Vietnam or Vietnam? I think I've asked that before. Anyway, one of them wars. He was stationed at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, where he was a Green Beret in the United States Army Special Forces. In 1970, he was on temporary leave from Fort Bragg when he returned to his hometown to take a home visit. In October of 71, following 3 years of duty, he received an honorable discharge from the Army. A month afterward, he marries the love of his life, Vicky, in 1971. After Randy and Vicky get married, Randy enrolls in the University of Ohio for criminal justice. He wanted to become an FBI agent, which is weird. The paths that we take is weird. He dropped out. Of course he did, because the tuition was too expensive. So he started working at the local John Deere factory. And Vicky, when she did work, was a secretary until they started having children. And then she became a homemaker. The Weaver family subscribed to radical beliefs of Christian identity, which... some people say that they're racist, and I'll tell you why. But they say that the Christianity beliefs that they believed were more on the racist side. Because they believed that white people are the lost tribe of Israel, and that leads into a whole other thing. And I'm wrong about this. I am not religious at all. This is just kind of like the lowdown Wikipedia gives you. So I really don't know what the fuck the lost tribe of Israel means. Sure they were lost. I hope they were found. I have no idea. Religion is not my thing. Anywho, Vicky had deep beliefs following the old laws from back when. And the family referred to their god as Yohau. Sure. Because the Weavers believed that women on their periods and everything else was unclean, they had a shack in the back of their home. And that's where the women would go and menstruate. Which is weird. The daughter never talks about that in her interviews and stuff. The movie does talk about it. And so does Wikipedia. So maybe he really did think that was too caca to be around him. Which I don't blame him. It is gross. But anywho. So... oh my god, sorry. I yawned. Hopefully you guys didn't yawn. The couple began to believe that everything around them was corrupt as shit. Meaning like the government and the man and all of that. They started to believe that really everything was as corrupt as it seemed around them. So Vicky believed that it was no matter what, the end of the world was going to happen. And that the world was going to come crashing down upon itself. And that she needed to be the one to protect her family and save her family. And that they needed to do that no matter what. And that her family would survive if they backed away and got away from the corrupt civilization of the world. So they start selling things off. They start practicing living without lights, without water. they start preparing their children and getting them ready for this life without lights and without power and all that fun stuff. And they start looking around. Mind you, they're in Ohio right now. And they're like, we need to get away from everybody. We need to move as far away as we can. Let's go to the Rocky Mountains and see what we can find. And when they start looking into the Rocky Mountains, they find out that there's this piece of land. And it's called Rudy Ridge up in northern Idaho. And so they're like, okay, bam, that's where we're going. And so they found a 20 acres of property up there in Rudy Ridge, Idaho in 1983. They built the cabin there with donated wood and found wood and they just built it with their own hands. The family did together. They paid $5,000 in cash and traded their moving truck as well for that piece of land. It's valued at $500 an acre. They had, like I said, no power and no running water. This is something that I can do for a weekend, maybe a week, not longer. Oh God, that just makes me sound, that just, ugh. Like, I love camping and I love all that nonsense, but forever, I don't know. I don't know. I like my Wi-Fi. My Wi-Fi. At the time of the incident, they had four children. They had Sarah, who was 16. And I refer to Sarah a lot because I watched her Crime Watch daily. So I refer to her a lot. They had Samuel, who was 14 years old. Rachel, who was 10 years old. And Elizabeth, who was 10. And Vicky, like I said, she homeschooled all of her children and taught them from the Bible and from their way of life. So on three or four separate occasions, the Weavers did attend Aryan Nation meetings up at the Hayden Lake in Hayden, Idaho. This is a suburb of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And this is where the KKK lives. Or the Aryan Nation, whichever you prefer. This is where they live. And these guys live on a compound. And they just run their little part of the world up there. They truly do. And so, as Idahoans, we know they're there. We just, you stay, we stay. Ha ha. Fun fact, didn't know this. The Aryan Nation have a summer camp out in the summer, every summer, 3 days of fun-filled, racist, white-only fun. If anyone is interested, I guess. They have speakers, music, learning thingies, I guess. But they do this every summer. Everybody gathers. Everybody has good old racist fun. I don't condone it because I wouldn't go to an event like this. It's not my life choice, but if it's yours, it's yours. So, anywho, please don't tell them I sent you. So, when they go there, he meets this snitch motherfucker that works for the ATF, and he has infiltrated the KKK. Well, he goes to Randy and he says, hey, buddy, sawed off the tip of these shotguns for me and do it without a permit and I'll pay you cash money. Randy is like, okay, sure. So he does this. And when he does this, then the ATF comes and they say, hey, that's a big no-no, bud. You don't have a permit for that action. And we have you on recording and we have you on video and we're going to take you to court. We're going to send you to jail. Life's over as you know it, unless you snitch. He says, get fucked. And I'm like almost 110% sure that's what he said. He could have even called him a bitch because Randy's a badass. So he says, get fucked. I ain't no snitch. Ain't gonna do it. And they're like, well, we're going to have to arrest you. And he's like, that's fine. I ain't doing it. Well, he goes back up to the property and then they do get him arrested. He goes to jail. He bonds out. And the family says, daddy ain't going to court. Nothing like that ain't going to happen to daddy. So they don't. Okay. So when he's out on bond, I think, and this might be like a little conspiracy thinking, they didn't like him. Okay. For the main fact that he was like, no, I will not rat. I have standards. I have respect. I have common decency. So I will not do such a thing. And so that angered them. And so they did not like him, Randy, after this. So I think he, and this happens all the time, okay? And in Montana, I know this is in Idaho, but like Montana did this to my husband too. And they straight up said, like, it's on you to pay attention, not for us. Like, if the courts mess up, it's for you to know it's a mess up and still do what you know is the right thing, even though the court says something else. Which is the dumbest thing about the court system. It's fucking dumb. Stay to your word, motherfucker, you know? Anywho. So, they fuck up on his court dates. His original court date was in February 19th of 1991. And he got a notice saying that it was moved to March 20th. It's already, like, he ain't tripping. In February, he ain't tripping because he thinks, I got court in March. I am solid. He does not. He still had the original court date that he thought he had. He should not have believed the paperwork. They wanted him to read the minds of the courts and know, and he did not do so. So he said, fuck it. He's like, I ain't going. And so a bench warrant was issued for his arrest. And when the marshals tried to serve it, it ain't gonna happen. They gave him an opportunity. They said, okay, dude, check it out. March 20th, you show up. And he said, F you. So, but the U.S. Attorney's Office sought a grand jury to indict him on his failure to appear on March 14th. So the family goes up to the hill. We've decided, F this guy. We're not going to do it. Now, mind you, FBI and everybody else is like ATF and all them. This is gun shit, tobacco, alcohol, and what not have you. So they are like, this dude has guns. He's part of the KKK. He says, I was never a part of the KKK. Like, I just fucking kicked it because up here in Rudy, Idaho, it'd be small. And their compound was only 60 miles away. So, I don't know. I don't know if they were or not. Okay, I don't know. But anyway, like I said, so the main house, the birthing shed / period house where you go for your menstruates are way behind. It's not way behind. In the picture, it kind of looks way behind, but it's behind the house by the outhouse. It's important that we know where that is. So they didn't come down for 18 months. And during this time, Mom Vicky gets with child and produces said child. And has the baby in the shed / period house. I guess it is. Well, they call it technically a guest house too. The family does. So technically a / guest house too. What a multifunctioning room. How nice. Had a bed in there and everything. It looked very nice. I will post pictures. But anywho. 10 months after she had this baby, all hell breaks loose. And everybody's life is forever changed, and Idaho makes national news. Probably not for the first time. Anywho, so August 21st, 1992. Day one. The family wakes. They are tipped off by the family dog barking this weird bark. They're not 100% sure what this bark means. They know it's weird and it's different. And I guess it is important to know that they do know that they are being surveilled. They just don't know how good their surveillance on them is. But they do know that they are being surveilled. And the mom has said firmly, fuck off. You're not getting my man. We ain't coming off this mountain. You're not getting our guns. Fuck no. No, no, no. No. So keep that in mind. We have already stated we are not going to court for this and we are not doing this. Get burnt. Get up off my land. God saves us. Is the appearance of what they make it come off to be. So anywho, day one, like I said, family dog is barking. And so Dad, Randy, family friend Kevin, and 14-year-old son Samuel head off to see what is going on. They decide, we're going to split up. You guys follow that way. I'm going to go this way. We'll see why he is barking this way. Because the dog just took off like a bat out of hell. Pachoo! Dog took off. So they're after the dog. And so he finally comes to like a slope downhill thing. And he kind of sees this guy in camo. And the guy says, Randy Weaver, get down and put your hands up. Randy says, fuck you, and takes off running and books it back up the hill. And now he's running. He's hearing the dogs barking, okay? And next thing you know, pow, pow, he hears gunshots. He starts screaming, it's a setup, it's a setup. Everybody back to the house. So everybody's yelling. He's freaking out. He can hear Sam because he's saying, come back to the house. He can hear Sam say, I'm coming, Dad. And then he books it back to the house. Well, when he gets back to the house, he waits. Family friend Kevin comes back and says, Sam is dead. The dog is dead. Sam is dead. And so he's been killed. He was shot once in his elbow and once in the lower back. So his mom, his dad, and Kevin go and they get his body. They clean him up. They wrap him in a sheet. And they put him in the birthing shed. And that's what we're going to call it because it's nicer than a menstruating shed. The birthing shed. So they put Sam in there. And it is very important to also tell you at this point in time, Deputy Marshal Bill Duncan was 42 years old. He left behind a wife and two sons. He is the one that Sam got in the shootout with. He shot Sam's dog. Sam shot at him. He shot back at Sam. Sam shot back. He died and Sam died. So all three died, which is very horrible when anybody dies. But it is very important to mention that this officer did die. And so what happens here, okay, after this, one of the guys gets away and he runs. And I wish I could find it by itself, but I could not. But he goes and he calls 911 and he starts saying that like he's under attack, that there was like rapid gunfire and like there's just too much gunpowder. They're not going to be able to handle the situation. He's dramatic is what it actually is this guy is just being overly fucking dramatic and making it seem like there's hundreds of people up on this mountain except for the little ass family that is. So he's making it horrible, like I said. So we make it through that day. We've lost Sam and no one knows Sam is dead yet. The only thing that the police know for sure is that the dog is dead because the dog gave up the location. They have two dogs though. So they know one dog is dead. And so day two, The dog starts barking again. This time, Randy and Kevin leave. Daughter Sarah follows after them, and Randy goes to the birthing shed to see Sam one more time. And before Sarah comes up, she's like getting right up to him, and like next thing you know, Randy's shot, and he's shot through the shoulder, through the fucking birthing shed and out the roof of the birthing shed. So this is the high power bullet, obviously. It just traveled through a man, through a building. So they're running and screaming. They're saying Vicky's in the door, and she's like, get back in the house. She's holding their 10-month daughter at the time. And at the door, we get a clusterfuck at the door. At the door, we get Randy. We get the daughter. We got Kevin. We got Vicky. We got the baby. And then, boom. Another shot. This shot goes through Kevin. Goes through Kevin's arm. And then goes through fucking Vicky's head, shoots her, drops her to the ground. She's holding the baby. She drops the baby. The baby's covered in blood. It's miserable. They drag her inside and they close the door. So Kevin's shot, almost fatally shot. Well, it kind of does turn fatal. But Kevin is shot. Vicky is now dead. So now we're pissed the fuck off. This is day two. Okay? Day two. And like I said, they do not know that Vicky is dead. They don't even know Sam is dead yet. So day three, they are like, okay, we need to get eyes on the ground. We need to get in there. We need to know what the fuck is going on. Why did he try to go to that shed? They're trying to figure everything out. And so they send a robot into the shed. And this is when they discover that Sam's body is in the shed. And so now they know that this is no longer just, oh, this man's upset because he has a warrant and we killed his dog. Now they know, oh, this man's upset because we killed his fucking son. And meanwhile, down the road a smidge, well, a far way, down their little windy road, is a fucking mad amount of protesters and mad Idahoans. At the ATF, dude, they are pissed. The FBI, local law enforcement, mad as hell. They have signs that say the Fed shot first, which is true. Like, we got mad Idahoans. So now everybody down at the bottom of the hill and nationally knows that they have killed a 14-year-old boy. So now it's even worse. And now anger is fucking hyped because now we're a baby killer and we're this and we're that. And it's just everybody's ramped up and it's getting crazy. So there's like yelling back and forth for a couple of days. And Randy's just not giving up. Okay. And meanwhile, they don't know that Vicky's dead. But they are like telling her because they believe that she is the backbone to the family. And so they're like, come outside. Wouldn't it be nice to just enjoy some food, make some pancake with your kids, like all this shit. And the family's like, fuck them. They know that they killed her and they're taunting us like that. Not cool. And it's just horrible. Like, this family goes through so much. And so keep in mind, we have two daughters here that are 10. And how old did I say the other one was? I know for sure. Yeah. So 16 and 10 at the time. And a 10-month-old baby. So, like, and you're inside with your mom's dead body. They're shouting your mom's name and trying to talk to her. You think they know what they don't know. They think that you think, you know what I mean? We're in a very fucking mad and angry scenario with one another. So on day 8, James Bow Grits, a third party presidential candidate who was the formerly been with Weavers. He was Weavers' commanding officer during that Vietnam War. So He says, since y'all can't negotiate with this man, let me have a go. Let me try. And so they were like, okay, since you think you know what you're doing, sure. And Randy's like, well, hell yeah, I'll talk to Bo. I just don't want to talk to y'all. And so Bo goes and he's like talking to him. And this is when Randy tells Bo, they shot my fucking wife. My wife's been dead for 6 days. They killed my wife. They killed my son. F them. I ain't going out there. I'm not doing it. Nope. Sorry. Thanks for being a friend. So on day 9, family friend Jackie is allowed to go up there because she's like, hold the phone. Y'all killed my best friend. Her baby's up there with her body. We don't know if these babies have had anything to eat, if they've slept. We don't know what these children. Let me go up and find out what the WTF is happening up there. And let me just see. And so they were like, girl, if Randy says you can go, you can go. And Randy was like, well, hell yeah, she can come. Y'all just can't. So Vicky got to go. And during this time, they've been trying to keep Kevin alive because his infection is getting infected. It's not doing so hot. And they decide, you know what? They're going to fucking kill every one of us in this house. The children are prepared to go out with guns of glory. Everybody in this house is like, I got your back. This ain't happening. We got this. And so they decide, you know what? We are going to write down exactly what happened. And we're going to tell our side so that the truth will be out there. And it won't be up to the government to tell their lie and give us this bad name and say I'm this gun trading crazy guy. And so they write their version of events. And so they give that to her. And they give her a list of supplies. And like she brings down the list and the story and she gives everything over. And the next day, day 10, they work it out so where Kevin can leave the home without fear of being killed and go get medical help and get the help that he needs. So he was taken into custody and then got his medical help. And he was literally knocking on death's door. Like, he was right there about to ding-dong-ditch that bitch. Like, he was on the verge of death. And then Jackie was given 2 buckets of water. And she was given the A-OK to clean up Vicky's crime scene. And the government willingly was like, yes, please go in there and destroy all the evidence you possibly can. Because you're right, the children shouldn't see her blood. We've just left them in there with her dead body for 6 days, but the blood is too much. So please go destroy our crime scene. And she did, because she was like, that ain't going to happen, okay? Like, that's disgusting. These kids are being tormented. Ain't going to happen. And while they're doing this, Bo and Randy move the mom's body. The children are crying and just devastated and telling Bo, please don't let mama's body touch the ground. Please don't let our mom's body touch the ground. And they just keep asking him that and saying that to him. Ugh, heartbroken. And so day 11, this is the final day. They decide that day, they are like, you know what? We're done playing this fucking game. Either this dude comes out or we're just going in there. And this is just, we're done. This is ridiculous. It's 11 days. The streets are horrible down the hill. We still have mad ass protesters and everything else. It's not looking good for the FBI or the ATF nationally on the news or anything. And so like, dude, this is it. Today is the day we are done. And so they tell Bo, they're like, buddy, this is your last chance. And so Bo goes and talks to him and tells him, they're not going to kill you. Come on, we got to beat them the right way. We can't let them get away with this. Fuck these guys. We can beat them. What they've done to you is not okay. They murdered your family. Whatever he said. He talks him into coming out. And so him and Randy and the 3 children, 3 daughters, hand in hand, walk down the hill together, okay? And Randy's in custody. He gets to take a private plane to Boise State Prison. It was the first time he ever flew. So, like, it was just all crazed. And so, in the movie, and the movie is called The Siege of Ruby Ridge. And it was made in 1996. It's 3 hours long. It's a good movie. Kristen Dunst plays the daughter. And so, it's good. She plays Sarah, the oldest. So it's really good. I mean, like, they had really good people in it. And when she gets to the bottom in the movie, and she did think this in her head, and, like, literally at the bottom of the hill, dude, you have what are those things for the army? The fucking tanks, there we go. They have tanks. They have helicopters. They have all sorts of crazy shit. And cute little Kristen Dunst in the movie, she's like, all this for one little family? And, like, it's just precious. But, like, really, dude, like, it was over dramatic on what this family was actually capable of doing. It was the most massive fuck up on the government's side back then anyway, because they gave the green light, the A-OK, after the shooting incident, that they said, any man, anybody you see with a firearm, green light, go ahead. That's not okay. That's not okay. If that person is not threatening you with bodily harm, you shouldn't be able to just shoot them to shoot them. You know what I mean? I am all for protecting yourself and justifiable homicides and all that shit. I am all for it. Like, if you are in a battle for your life, you're out to fucking win. It's your life. This isn't a game that you just get to reset and drop down. So that's where this man was coming from. Literally, if they put their fucking head outside, they were getting shot at. So, no, he's not coming outside. No, his kids are not coming outside. You've lost your damn mind. And then you're going to tell me, oh, I'm not going to shoot you. I don't believe you. We have no fucking trust, bro. Not at all. You didn't even try to negotiate with me before you started popping off members of my family, bro. Like, I am all behind Mr. Weaver. And he even says if he could redo it today, he would not change a goddamn thing, except for obviously his two loved ones not dying. But that's all he would change. He would still stand his damn ground. Anyway, so after they have him in custody, he was charged with multiple crimes, including, I think it was like a total of 10 firearms and charges and everything else. Gary Spence handled his defense and fully argued that his actions were justifiable because of self-defense. And he did not call any witnesses on their behalf, rather focusing mainly on the credibility and attacking the FBI agents and the forensic technologists that were there. The judge dismissed two counts after hearing their witnesses' testimony, the prosecution's witness testimony. The judge dismissed them. The jury found him guilty on one count of failure to appear. And he was fined $10,000 and sentenced to 18 months in prison. And he was credited for his time served and only had to do an additional 3 months. And then it was gone. And then Kevin Harris, who was also there, he is the adult man that was there. He was acquitted of all of his charges. And it just, why would you say that this man, like, why would you want to find 12 people, find this man guilty of killing someone who shot at him? Like, that's not how it works. You can't just shoot at fucking people just to shoot at people because a dog gave up your location. That's what it was. That's what it was. I would believe the account over the daughter than anyone else. She lived it. She survived it. She was there. And she knows that morning that this all started, the day my brother died, this is what happened. So I'm taking her word over anybody else's. So I believe it was all in self-defense. Every little bit of it. So on August of 1995, the U.S. government avoided a trial in the civil lawsuit that the Weavers filed against them for murdering their wife and his wife and son. The daughters were given $1 million each, and Randy was given $100,000. Randy was given his payout too. In the deaths of his wife and his son. In a total, they got $3.1 million. So, not bad. The attorney for Kevin Harris pressed that he also was due some money for the unjust action taken upon him, which was him being shot. And that they needed someone. They said they would never pay someone because he killed that U.S. Marshal, which he cannot be convicted of because now we have double jeopardy, because he was already acquitted once for that murder. So, no, he did not. Technically, by the law. And I mean, I'm not 100% if it was ever proven if it was Sam's gun or Kevin's gun who shot at him and, like, did the fatal. Everybody just says it was Sam on him, because then pretty much justice is done, right? Like, you both killed each other. So the government just used that as its way of cleaning it up. So they say. I don't know. And in 1995, good old Weaver did offer his help in trying to end the standoff in Montana. And the Montana FBI very nicely declined that offer for his help. Oh, I guess I should say that in 2000, Kevin did get money. He was awarded $38,000 for his settlement. So they all knew that was a bunch of shit anyway. Timothy McVeigh was convicted of McVeigh. I'm not 100% sure if I'm saying that right. Anyway, he's the guy who did the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. He said that the Rudy Ridge incident was a big contributing factor in his decision to attack the U.S. government. U.S. federal government. Randy's later life, he did testify about his racial beliefs before the Supreme Senate or whatever in 1985, saying, quote, "I am not a hateful racist as most people understand it, but I believe in separation of races. We wanted to be separate from the rest of the world, to live in a remote area, to give our children a good place to grow up," end quote. In 1999, he remarried a lady named Linda, and they moved back to Ohio. In 2000, he visited the site of Waco. In Texas, where 76 men and children died in that complex when it was burned to the ground during the siege. A church was being built at the time of his visit. And so, I don't know. That was just super sad. Waco happened in February of 1993. And so, keep in mind that this incident happened in 1992 in August. So, and that one lasted, Waco lasted for 51 days and ended on April 19th. So, yeah, I don't know. Oh, he did one more thing. He did one more thing in the press. In 2007, in June, he participated in a press conference with taxes Ed and Eileen Brown at their home in Blandford, New Hampshire. So I don't know anything about that, but I just legitly did not know. Like, I have always known that the KKK resides up there. But I don't know. I guess I just never heard about this incident. And the fact that they killed a 14-year-old child is just, I'm sure it wasn't intentional. I'm sure it wasn't, but I don't know. I don't know, man. The government, when it comes to Idaho and gun rights, we are very hard-headed and we believe in our amendment, even though I myself am not a gun carrier. My husband's going to be purchasing one, but like, I don't want to use it. But like, literally, I think I'm the only one in my family who doesn't have a gun. My little brothers have guns. Like, it's at least not the felons. The ones that aren't felons do. But I don't know. It just blew my mind. And so I asked a bunch of people if they heard about it. And they were like, no, I've never heard about it. So I said, shit, I'll tell you about it. Why not? And there's this picture of Victoria I'm gonna post. And it's a surveillance photo. And it's her standing out in the, like, in an empty spot. And there's, like, woods around. Y'all know that bitch that comes about the whale in the movie. Oh, what the hell is that chick's name? I don't know. The chick from this movie with the long black hair. The Ring. There we go. The chick from The Ring. Y'all, that's who she reminded me of. And it scared the shit out of me. I got so scared. I was like, ah! But I'm going to post that too. And like I said, this was just incredible. And it was like right by Spokane and Washington. And that's the court that they were using, was the Spokane court. It's their closest, like, main court, from what I understand. And so it's just amazing. And Bonner's Ferry. Yeah, Bonner's Ferry. Not Boner. Bonner. No, no, no. Two N's. That's up in North. And it's gorgeous up there. Absolutely gorgeous. My husband used to drop off oil up there. And the pictures he would take were pretty. It's up by Sandpoint. I don't know if the Nipples, Idaho. I keep saying Nipples, Idaho. I was like, I'm not going to try to say it, but I figured, fuck it, I'll say it. So it's like Nipples, whatever. I'd make fun of you if I lived there, but that's just me. But yeah, hopefully you guys learned something. I didn't know about it, so hopefully you guys didn't know about it, and we all learned about it together. And Randy is still alive to this day. His daughter's Sarah actually has the shed from that property. She got it back from the courts. And it still has the very bullet hole that went through her father, through the roof. So she has that shed on her property. And I believe she lives in Montana somewhere. And yeah, just family, man. Family beliefs are strong. And this family was willing to truly stand up for what they believed in, and they did. And they changed a bunch of things when it comes to negotiations and standoffs with police, that you cannot just shoot them to shoot them. If you're in this type of scenario, if that person's not doing any danger to you, you cannot harm that person without that person either A, being very dangerous to someone else around them, or to you yourself. So that's one of the good things. And even Sarah says at least something good came out of it. She lost her brother, her best friend, and her mother within like 48 hours of each other, and that she was legitimately in there with her father. They were afraid. And when you're afraid of the government and you're afraid of the people who are supposed to protect you, what really do you have? So I'm just glad that no more lives were taken from this incident and that we really have learned from it. And even though the government side of it hasn't changed, it made me happy to know that Idahoans still will stand up for each other and that we obviously always have. And when we see wrong being done, we get angry. And so that made me very happy to see, I guess. I just like the fact that we still stuck up for each other. And like, you guys, I will post pictures of this protest. They were literally standing up for their people, man. That it was not fair. Like, you should not have shot a child just because the dog gave away your position. Oh man, these people were outraged. And yes, a lot of it, before anybody comes at me and says, well, a lot of them were only there because they knew that he was in the KKK. That may be true. Just because they say that they weren't a part of the KKK doesn't mean that that's the truth. I understand that. People obviously will say whatever they want to say. No one can honestly know what the truth is because none of us were there. So I acknowledge that. You don't have to tell me. So yeah. Hopefully you guys will learn something. And if you guys want to know what the fuck I'm talking about, if you want to make it quick and easy on yourselves, just watch literally the first episode of Waco on Netflix. And it gives you like the whole lowdown skivvy. Or you guys can watch the 3-hour long movie. Like I said, it's still a good movie. I watched it. Or the documentary clips on YouTube. So it's up to you. But yeah, I will post you guys the pictures and everything else. Let me know how you guys feel about the audio. Let me know if it's better, please. I would really appreciate feedback on that. And you guys, we are so much closer to actually doing the Thursday videos. We're getting there and it's going to be crazy. I'm so excited. But yeah, just awesome history lesson for you guys, I guess. Let's go back to 1992. I was 2 years old. And it's almost my birthday. And then another reminder before we end this is next Sunday is Father's Day. So we will have a Father's Day killing. So, yeah. I don't really have anything to do on Father's Day but spoil my husband. So, what are you guys doing for Father's Day? Let me know. And yeah, stay golden. Have an awesome fucking week. And I will be back with you guys on Tuesday and Thursday. So have a good week. Follow me on Facebook at It Is What It Is, a true crime podcast. That is also my YouTube page. You can also follow me on Instagram at It Is What It Is Pod19. All together, all one word, no spaces at all. Or on Twitter at It Is What It Is 208, because that's where I'm from. So follow me, DM me, whatever, case suggestions. Oh, someone did ask if I would give them personal advice. Fuck yeah. If you guys want to make that a new thing and like a new day, dude, I'm totally down to read y'all's bullshit and give you guys my opinion on it. I really am. So if you want to do that, we can. Someone asked me if I do that and I was like, I don't, but I will. Like, for sure. Me judging people, my fave. Let me. And I'm pretty good at advice. I'm not good at taking my own advice, but I'm pretty fucking awesome at giving it. So if you guys want to give it a trial run, let's do it. Send me a couple and we'll pick a day and I'll just what we'll do is I'll read your problem and I will give you advice on the problem. It'll be fun if you guys want to do it. If not, no sweat, ain't no thing. But yeah, peace out. I love you guys. Bye.